Chapter 17.
I felt lightheaded and dizzy. My stomach clenched. I was about to heave my guts up. The worst part of it was I knew I couldn't leave the injection mold machine I was working on. If I switched it off, the plastic would harden throughout the machine. The machines ran continuously. The repetitive sounds were the music we worked to in the molding department. I looked around for the foreman, but I didn't see him on the shop floor. I tried to concentrate on my work. I checked the barrel filled with plastic pellets on the skid to my left and pushed the suction hose in a little deeper. Puffs of steam shot from the machine as it cooked the pellets and popped out little plastic parts. It stunk as bad as a burning rubber dish drain. Mind over matter. I willed myself not to think about the stench, my stomach, and the hot, stagnant air in the factory. Matter won out. I vomited all over the side of the machine and the greasy concrete floor. Bolt ran to me. He was lead man on the setup crew. He put his hand on my shoulder while I threw up my breakfast. "It's okay. You'll be okay," he reassured. I was more embarrassed than anything. I wiped my mouth with the back of my hand. Bolt pulled an oily rag out of the back pocket of his blue work chinos and handed it to me. "You're the third guy on this shift to puke. How hot you think it is in here today, Bolt?"
110 degrees?
I whistled. "That's probably right on the nose. How'd you do that?" Bolt laughed. "The thermometer on the wall in assembly." "You all right?" "Yeah," I smiled sheepishly. Throwing up had only made the smell worse. Bolt patted my shoulder. "No shame in puking. I do it myself about every Saturday night. I'll send one of the guys from maintenance over to clean this up. Hey, Bolt, what are these parts we're making?" Bolt shrugged. "Something for computers." I shook my head. "It's weird to spend half my waking day making something, and I don't even know what the hell it is." Bolt laughed. "Be glad it has something to do with computers. That means we'll probably both have a job down the line." He started to walk away and then hesitated. Bolt turned round and put his hand on my shoulder. "Listen," he said, "if you're interested, there may be a job opening up soon in shipping and receiving. At least you can breathe in there. How long you been working here?" I thought about it. "Almost a year. But the first 3 months I was a temp. I don't know if that counts." Bolt nodded. "I get round the plant. I'll keep my ear to the ground for you." He slapped me on the shoulder and walked away. A few minutes later, Jimmy came over to clean up my vomit. Jimmy was Mohawk. All the other guys on the maintenance and setup gangs were white. "Can I help you clean it up?" I asked him. "It is my mess after all." Jimmy shook his head. "Just a job." "Does Bolt let you work fixing the machines much, or mostly clean up?" Jimmy eyed me suspiciously, then he shrugged. "Bolt's not a bad guy. He tries to throw some decent work my way." The lunch whistle blew. "I better not eat lunch," I told Jimmy. "I'm sure you got enough work to do this afternoon." He laughed. "The air in here doesn't move. You should get outside and breathe." I punched out for lunch and started to walk to the shipping and receiving end of the plant. The factory was the size of a large supermarket. I didn't know the guys on this end. I'd never even been back here. It was another world, and besides, I was afraid to leave the safety of working alone on a machine. When I got to shipping and receiving, all the guys had already gone to lunch. I walked out on the open loading dock. The temperature was 30 degrees cooler. The summer air smelled fresh. I wanted to stay at this plant. No one knew me out here in Tonawanda, on the outskirts of Buffalo. But working that machine was making me sick. Maybe it was worth taking a risk and bidding for this job. Scotty was at least 30 years my senior, but I could never have gotten that last box hoisted up and into place in the truck's trailer without him. My arms felt like jelly after loading this one. Scotty wasn't even winded.
So how do you like working in shipping and receiving, young fella? Scotty asked me.
Can I breathe first?
Sure, you'll get the rhythm of this job down. You work real hard, then you take it easy. It's almost lunchtime. Come on, let's go wash up. I took a deep breath as we walked into the men's room together. It looked just like the one on the other end of the plant. There was a huge concrete circular sink in the center of the room. Scotty and I each slapped the powdered soap dispenser in the middle of the sink and stepped on the foot pedals that sent sprays of water our way.
You got a locker yet? Scotty asked me. I shook my head.
Come on, he said. Follow me. Scotty silenced the banter in the locker room. Some of you guys met Jesse this morning. He just got transferred from operator. Except for Scotty and Walter, most of the guys were in their late 20s or early 30s.
Walter shook my hand.
Hey, son, you worked here long?
I shook my head. A year?
He laughed. Where'd you work before?
I shrugged. Around.
Walter and Scotty glanced at each other. I was relieved when another one of the guys interrupted us.
I'm Ernie. This here's my sidekick, Skids.
I used to be an operator. I quit when I started coughing up blood.
Skids threw a towel at him. You coughed up blood because you smoke, asshole.
Ernie grabbed Skids in a headlock and ran his knuckles back and forth across Skids' scalp.
A young man with a ponytail shook my hand.
I'm Pat.
Ernie laughed.
You haven't met Patty yet.
Pat made a face at Ernie.
Shut up. I'll tell you before they do. I was a conscientious objector. If you got a problem with that, keep it to yourself.
Skids thrust his chest out.
I was a nam.
Hey, Jesse, did you get drafted or did you join up?
All the blood rushed to my head. I wished I was back in the molding department where the noise level protected me from idle questions.
I didn't go, I mumbled.
Ernie groaned.
Another one.
What did you do? Tell them a fairy tale.
I thought hard.
I was exempt, medical.
Walter interrupted.
Leave the kid alone.
You got a locker.
Here, use this one.
Hey, Ernie said. You need to spice up that locker a little.
I knew what he meant. All the other guys had pin-up posters on their locker doors.
Get yourself a calendar from the restaurant on the corner. We all go there together on payday. Miss August will cook your balls.
Hey, Walter, you better get one too.
Walter shook his head slowly. Some guys need pictures. Some guys get the real thing. Right, Jesse?
I smiled. I brought my pin-up over from my old locker. Ernie handed me two band-aids from the first aid kit on the wall. I used them to tape up a Colour magazine ad of my old Norton.
Pat whistled.
I'd rather ride Jesse's than yours, Ernie.
The lunch whistle blew. I looked around for Scotty, but he was gone.
Hey, Walter, where's Scotty?
Walter shrugged and pantomimed, lifting a bottle to his lips.
He's having a rough go of it. His wife's dying of cancer. He don't stick around when the guys start talking about pussy.
By the end of the summer, I was considered one of the guys. I actually looked forward to coming to work most mornings, because it was my only human contact. Friday at lunchtime, we were headed to the Italian restaurant on the corner, when Bolt stopped me.
You know somebody named Frankie?
I felt the blood rush up into my face.
What's he look like?
Bolt shook his head. It's not a he. It's a bulldagger. She used to work with you at a bindery. Said you two were on strike together. She told me you did a lot of work with the union.
Frankie told Bolt about me. She must have. I wondered if I should quit now. Just walk out on the dock, hop down on the driveway, and keep on walking to my bike.
Where did you meet Frankie? I asked Bolt.
She was on second shift. Starting Monday, she's moving on to dayside. She's an operator. She said you're a good guy.
I blinked in disbelief.
She said that?
Bolt nodded.
She said you're a good union man.
I laughed in relief.
How did she know I worked here?
She saw you leaving the parking lot.
She a friend of yours? Bolt asked me. Nah, I distanced myself. Just somebody I used to work with. My own disloyalty sickened me. Bolt headed for the dock. You coming to lunch? I shook my head. I'll be along. Go ahead. It was a relief to be alone. I wandered into the warehouse and sat down on a stack of skids to think about Bolt's bombshell. Frankie was coming onto the day shift. It scared me to realize she might have exposed me. But apparently she hadn't. Frankie was sharp. She must have figured out the score right away. A feeling of excitement flooded me. Working with another butch. Maybe we could hang out sometimes. Maybe she knew where some of the old crowd was. Maybe she could introduce me to a femme. Hey, young fella. Scotty interrupted my thoughts. He was sitting on the floor, leaning up against the skids. Scotty unscrewed a bottle of Jack Daniels and offered it to me. Thanks, I said, taking a swig. Scotty tipped the bottle to his lips and swallowed 3 times. We sat in silence. You married? He asked me. I shook my head. He dropped his head to his chest. My wife's real sick. He rubbed his eyes with his hands. His face brightened. Did I ever show you a picture of my wife? I shook my head. He pulled out a leather wallet, thin and smooth from wear. Here she is. That's my girl. I laughed and whistled. That's you. He smiled. Yup, you think I was born this age? I was once a young fella just like you. Had my whole life ahead of me. We both laughed. But when I looked at him again, his eyes were filled with tears. His voice sounded hoarse. I wish I could go before she does. I know that sounds terrible. I mean, who would take care of her, you know? But sometimes I don't think I can stand letting go of her when the time comes. His head dropped down again. I reached out and lay my hand gently on his back, ready to move it quickly if my touch offended him. It didn't. You're young, Scotty said abruptly. Don't get stuck in a job like this. I shrugged. This job seems pretty good to me. Scotty shook his head. I mean a real job. I had 20 years in the Chevy plant. I got my UAW card. You want to see it? 20 years of my life in that plant, and they laid me off. Can you believe it? Chevy, did you work with Bolt? Scotty nodded. Yeah, but he wasn't there as long as I was. He worked at Harrison for a while. Got laid off there too. Bolt interested me. Was he in the same union? All us old-timers are UAW, he said. I'll be a union man on the day they lower my casket into the ground. You gotta have a union, young fella. If you don't have a union, you better fight to get one. I laughed. Not too likely we'll get one here anytime soon. Scotty shrugged. Well, you never can tell. There's been talk. We need a union here. I'm too old to do it. You young ones, you're gonna have to do it. I sighed. I wish we had a union too, but I just want to keep my job, Scotty. By the way, what do you think about Bolt? He seems like a good guy. Scotty wagged his finger near my nose. Watch out for Bolt. He's not really one of us anymore. He's part gang foreman, part setup man. Mark my words. When push comes to shove, he won't know which side he's on. Don't trust him. His warning disappointed me because I like Bolt. But lucky for me, I didn't really trust anyone. I felt a hand on my shoulder as I punched out Monday afternoon. Hey, Frankie spun me around. Hey, Frankie. Listen, we gotta talk. She put her index finger to her lips. It's okay. I know. I followed her out to the parking lot. I'm really glad to see you and everything, Frankie. It's just I'm scared. I've got a good thing going here. And the newspapers are talking about another recession. Frankie stopped walking. I understand, Jess. Don't you think I get it? How did you survive this long? I asked her. She shrugged. I'm living out here in Tonawanda with my parents till I can save up for my own place. It's not too bad. I stay at my girlfriend's on the weekend.
I whistled. You got a girlfriend. Lucky you.
Frankie pursed her lips. A car horn blared.
You know my girlfriend, Jess. Me and Johnny been together a year.
She smiled. Just like the song.
I stopped dead in my tracks.
Who's Johnny?
Frankie sighed.
You know Johnny. We worked together before the strike. We all played softball together.
I shook my head.
The only Johnny I remember was Butch, and I know you don't mean her, I laughed.
Frankie widened her stance.
Yeah, that's exactly who I mean. She's waiting for me in our car over there.
Hey, Jess, I heard Johnny yell from the car.
Come here.
You must be kidding, I whispered to Frankie.
She put her hands on her hips.
She's my lover, Jess. Do I look like I'm kidding?
My mouth hung open. I shook my head from side to side.
Honest, Frankie, I just don't get it.
I don't understand.
Frankie smoldered.
You don't have to understand it, Jess. But you gotta accept it. If you can't, then just keep walking.
That's exactly what I did. I couldn't deal with it, so I just walked away.
It wasn't hard to avoid Frankie after that. We worked at opposite ends of the plant. I hung back in the afternoons. I didn't want to run into either of them at the time clock. The more I thought about them, the more I thought about the two of them being lovers, the more it upset me. I couldn't stop thinking about them kissing each other. It was like two guys. Well, two gay guys would be all right, but two butches? How could they be attracted to each other? Who was the femme in bed? I found myself obsessing about Frankie and Johnny. I was so deep in thought on Wednesday morning that I didn't notice Scotty and I were the only guys in the department. Scotty motioned toward the men's room.
You better go in there, he said.
What?
He just nodded toward the men's room.
I didn't know what to expect when I opened the door. The men's room was filled with guys. Some from my department, some I didn't recognize. Bolt spoke first.
We've been waiting for you, he said.
My fist clenched at my sides. Frankie must have told the guys about me out of spite. I should have known better than to trust her. Whatever misunderstanding we had should have been between us. I'll deal with her later. Right now, I was badly outnumbered. Bolt reached out his hand and moved toward me. I backed up against the wall. My temples pounded with blood. Bolt grabbed me by the shoulder. I pushed his hand off. I was concerned. Leave me alone, I growled. Walter moved toward me.
Take it easy, son. We just want to talk to you.
Yeah? About what? Bolt and Walter looked at each other and backed away from me.
About the union, Walter said.
I shook my head in confusion. Ernie's wife works at a factory that the textile workers' union organized. She put us in contact with a really good guy who helped them. We need to know where you stand. I had trouble regaining my composure.
You mean this is an organizing drive?
Bolt shrugged. We've been talking up till now. We need to get a union organizer out here and call a general interest meeting. This shit can't go on much longer without blowing up.
This job didn't seem that bad to me.
What kind of grievances? I asked.
Like we make shit wages and they make us work overtime practically every weekend, Ernie said.
I nodded.
Yeah, but then we get other days off.
Skids answered me.
Sure, because they don't want to pay us time and a half.
Walter nodded. Two people can be working the same machine and get paid different. It's all based on whether you suck up to the foreman.
The fumes are terrible, Ernie added.
None of us know what we're breathing, and it's so fucking hot you can hardly breathe some days.
Bolt touched my arm. I jumped back. He looked hurt.
There's big safety problems here, too. We see a lot of stuff in maintenance and setup that you don't see. People have accidents, fingers caught in mold, stuff like that. The company tries to intimidate them out of filing for compensation.
We write up equipment problems and management just files them in the waste paper basket.
I listened and nodded. Bolt shrugged.
So, we gotta know, Jesse. Where do you stand?
I sighed. This was a good job for me. I wished it would stay that way. But everything was always changing.
Look, I told the guys.
You want to bring a union in here, that's fine with me.
Bolt moved closer to me.
That's not good enough. We need you on the organizing committee.
I didn't want to make waves. Why couldn't I just sign a union card like everybody else and do my job?
I don't want to get involved, I told him.
Listen, he said, and he leaned toward me.
I backed up a bit. I'm sticking my neck out on this thing, and I don't even know if I'll be eligible for the union, because the Labour Board might consider me a gang boss.
You can count on me in an election, I told him, but I'm not an organizer.
Bolt shook his head.
That's not what Frankie told me. She said you helped win that strike.
Look, Bolt, I don't want to get involved. I'll support you all and do my job. Just leave me alone.
Bolt shook his head. I thought you were different.
I sighed. I don't want to be different.
We heard the shouting all the way from the other end of the plant. We ran the length of the factory. By the time we got there, all that was left was blood on the concrete floor.
Who got hurt? I whispered to Bolt.
His calloused hands formed tight fists.
George.
I looked at the lake of blood on the floor.
Is he dead?
Bolt shrugged. We don't know yet.
He pounded his fist on the forklift next to us.
I rode up this tow motor myself last month. The brakes were shot.
The plant superintendent waved his arms.
Let's everybody get back to work. It does no good to stand around.
I was surprised when everyone went back to their jobs. I was half expecting an insurrection. That came 2 weeks later.
The accident was all we talked about. The company was experimenting with bigger molds that could stamp out plastic garbage cans.
George was assigned to use the forklift to carry the mold over to the injection machine. While he was standing in front of the forklift attaching the mold, the brakes gave out. One of the arms of the forklift pierced George's back just below the lung.
Anger still simmered a week later. Walter rushed into our department on Wednesday afternoon.
Have you heard? Management wrote up George for the accident. They're blaming him.
Bolt was right behind him. Listen up, guys. We're calling a meeting Friday at the VFW post down the road. An organizer from the textile workers is gonna meet with us. They've pushed us too far this time.
He was right. We all punched out at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. I didn't rush out right away. I didn't want to run into Frankie. I wondered if she'd be at that meeting. When I got to the VFW post at 3:45, there were 25 workers there. Every department was represented. Excitement buzzed in the air, with people waving their arms and talking a mile a minute. Bolt caught my eye from across the room. I nodded and smiled. Frankie was standing next to him. I avoided looking at her. I was still unnerved about finding out that she and Johnny were lovers, though I couldn't explain why. I noticed Frankie whisper in some guy's ear. When he turned around, I recognized Duffy. The smile on Duffy's face when he saw me made me feel warm inside. Frankie grabbed his arm and whispered something else to him. I wondered if she was explaining my situation. Duffy made a beeline for me.
Jess, he grasped my hand.
His grip felt familiar in mine. I've thought about you so many times.
How long you worked here?
More than a year.
He smiled.
We're gonna need your help.
I started to protest, but Duffy noticed Ernie and Scotty bringing drinks from the bar into the meeting room. He waved to them.
Get the booze out of here. We're serious in here.
I tugged his sleeve. Go easy on the older guy. Booze is his Achilles heel, but he's a good guy. He's an old UAW man.
So's Bolt.
Duffy nodded. Tell me about Bolt.
Two black women I didn't recognize tapped Duffy.
Excuse me, one of the women said.
I'm Dottie. I work in the assembly department. This is my friend Gladys. She's worked there longer than me.
Duffy shook their hands.
6, Dottie said, out of 20 on dayside. There's another 15 or so on second shift.
Someone yelled from across the room.
Let's get this meeting started.
A cheer went up.
Duffy excused himself and moved to the front of the room. I've heard a lot of the grievances this afternoon.
Yeah.
Discipline broke down. Everyone shouted about conditions at the plant. Duffy held up his hands. Every single one of your grievances will be addressed. I promise you that. There's not a single one that's not important. But let's focus first on the grievances that affect everyone. Bolt patted me on the shoulder. Come on out here a minute. I want to talk to you. I started to protest. Come on, this meeting will still be going on. I followed Bolt out to the bar. He ordered 2 beers and paid for them. He lifted his bottle. To the union, he said. I nodded. I'll drink to that. Listen, Jesse. How well you know this guy Duffy? I shrugged. He's all right in my book. I trust him. Some of the guys heard something about him. Somebody said he's a communist. I laughed. He's no communist. He's a good guy. Bolt smiled and nodded. All right. As long as somebody knows the guy. Hey, Bolt, did you ask Duffy about whether or not you'd be eligible to join the union? Bolt shook his head. I'll ask him later, after the meeting. We both heard a roar from the other room. Come on, I said, let's get back. I was starting to feel a little excited. Let's sign the cards now, Ernie shouted. Duffy raised both hands. You got 120 people in your shop. It'll take 30% plus one as a bare minimum to file for an election. This is a great turnout, but we need more. Where the hell is everybody? Someone yelled. Duffy shook his head. This really is a great turnout for a first meeting, but we've got to get more workers from every department lined up. Bolt yelled out. Maintenance and setup are solid. What about assembly? Ernie shouted. Those girls aren't going to be with us. They've got husbands to take care of them. Shit, I heard 2 of them still live with their parents. Dottie stood up. And I'm one of them. Yeah, I live with my parents. I'm trying to raise 2 kids without a husband. And Gladys is living with her parents because she's supporting them and she can't afford her own place. But we're both here. You don't know jack squat about our department. Gladys stood up beside her. That's right. Our fingers and wrists are killing us from trimming flash all day. We're making lousy money and we have to work weekends. A lot of the girls have husbands who also bring home a paycheck, it's true. But a lot of them are fed up and they'll sign. You'll see. Duffy smiled at them. The sisters are speaking up, guys. You better listen. We all agreed to end the meeting and hold another one the following week, but nobody was eager to leave. We milled around talking. Hey, Duffy, Bolt called him over. Am I going to be able to get into the union? I'm lead setup man. I wished I could tip off Duffy about Bolt's worth, but I could see Duffy already recognized it. Management knows you're a leader, he told Bolt. I saw Bolt stand a little taller. But do you hire and fire? Do you review the guys or discipline them? Bolt shrugged. It's kind of hazy. I'm really just the most experienced guy in setup, but they sort of treat me like gang boss too. Duffy nodded. The company will argue about which side you're on in order to delay the elections and use the time to intimidate people. I think you already know which side you're on, but you have to make it real clear. If you work hard to bring the union in, it'll make our argument easier that you should be in. Bolt shook Duffy's hand. Do you think we're going to win? Duffy smiled and nodded. Yeah, but it'll take a fight. We got strong people in each department. If we had more like Jess, we'd win it hands down. I trust Jess. She's proved she's for the union 100%. Everything happened in slow motion. When I heard Duffy say she, I turned in horror, my jaw dropped. Frankie slapped her forehead with her palm and shook her head. The guys looked from Duffy to me and back again. I stormed out of the VFW post and headed for my motorcycle. Jess, wait, I heard Duffy shouting. He caught up to me and grabbed my arm. I yanked it away. Thanks a lot, Duffy. seeing tears in his eyes made it worse. "I'm so sorry, Jess. It just jumped out. I didn't mean it."
I shrugged.
"It doesn't matter what you meant to do. I'm out of this job now."
He shook his head.
"We'll work it out, Jess. You could stay. I'll talk to the guys."
I laughed bitterly.
"You don't get it, do you? Which bathroom you think I'm going to use on Monday, Duffy?"
Duffy put his hand on my arm. I glared at him.
"Jess, I'd never do anything to hurt you. You know that."
I pushed his hand off my arm.
"Well, you did."
I turned and walked away.
"Jess, wait up."
It was Frankie.
"Jess, I know you're mad.
That was really fucked up, but it was a mistake. He's really upset."
"Leave me alone, Frankie. You don't understand either."
Frankie looked stunned.
"What's your fucking problem with me?
Are you really gonna cut another butch loose just because you can't deal with who turns me on?"
I wished someone had muzzled me because I was so worked up I couldn't control my mouth.
"What makes you think you're still a butch?" I asked her sarcastically.
Her smile was cruel and offensive.
"What makes you think you're still a butch?" she countered.
I spun around and stormed off. Part of me was hoping that Frankie or Duffy wouldn't let me go. But they did.